Tune in and hang on tight as Fish Talk Radio takes you on a fishing adventure. We'll take you places you have only yet desired and the familiar favorites with live on-the-water insider tips. Join the party for a blue water, white water, and calm water adventure. Check out Fish Tips and Trips online at fishtalkradio.com. Tune in for the all-natural attitude adjustment.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio and along with Mr. Phil Friedman that's floating around Southern California somewhere that's joining in with us today. Phil, a lot of exciting stuff going on, and we are going to have some exciting stuff going on. We're going to be going to, different parts, of, obviously to Baja, and we're going to be getting some inland reports. Something interesting. How about carp fishing in Austin, Texas?
Wow, that sounds great. I mean, like you say, John, there is a magnificent array of sport fishing opportunities here. It's just really great what's going on right now. That sounds like fun also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be talking about all sorts of things. Yeah, you know, last week we talked a little bit about the changing of the weather patterns this year, and fishing is turning on. And we've got and up in the Channel Islands, they're getting white sea bass and yellowtail, a lot of topwater fishing. And hopefully this weather pattern will continue as long as that wind doesn't come up, and we may have some great fishing for the next couple of months all up and down.
I don't see an end to it. I mean, as I look at the long-range forecast, and even looking at Farmer's Almanac, this weather looks like it's going to remain mild now. There's no wind in the forecast. It looks beautiful. And as you point out, there's fish up in the northern regions, down south. It's just a magnificent year. And as you mentioned, if we don't get wind, and as a result of that mixing, the water will stay warm, and we should continue with this great fishing.
Phil, did I hear you right that, you know, with this modern age of terrafin and computer-generated weather patterns, you're using the Farmer's Almanac?
They've been right for several hundred years, or at least 100 years, and I'll tell you, I still look at that every once in a while, and they're right on, dead on.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun today. There's a lot of different fishing that we're going to be doing, and again, this is the time of the year that don't be putting that stuff away yet. All over east and west, we're going to be visiting with Florida, and the stuff going on different parts of the world, obviously in Mexico, Florida, West Coast. We might even find something else in the Midland areas. But anyway, stay tuned. Phil, stay with us. We're going to take just a very short break, and we're going to come back and see if we can start off. And let's see, we're going to start off hopefully in Mexico, and then maybe move around from there. So stay tuned. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Well, I woke up this morning, grabbed my pole. I can't catch a fish to save my soul. Everybody fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan along with...
Phil Friedman.
Phil Friedman. I'm sorry to wake you up there, Phil. Phil Friedman, 976 Tuna. And exciting stuff. What a great segment that was. And, you know, Tama, too, she always comes up with something. No matter what time of the year it is, he goes out, and whether it's crab or sand dabs or Humboldt squid or whatever is in the ocean, he finds a way to make it fun, and he always comes back with something.
And that's the whole good point about going fishing, John. I mean, to go out and have a good time. I mean, it's not necessarily about the catching. It's about going out there and getting away from the telephones and having a good time.
Yes. And this is, again, we've been talking about, this is the time of the year to go out and have a good time. we talked a little bit about Baja. We're going to be talking a little bit some more about that. And we've got a trip coming up. By the way, if anybody is interested in taking a trip, we also do real fun adventures, and you can do that by going to fishtalkradio.com. And right on the left-hand side, it says Real Fun Adventures. Click on that. This is the last trip of this year. Right now, we're putting together our trips that we want to be doing for next year. So we'd like to get some feedback from some people. If you're interested in going to Costa Rica or Mexico or Alaska, give us an idea. And we've got some very affordable things put together. And right now, we are going to do some inland bass fishing, I suspect, because Charlie Almasi is a professional bass angler, along with a manager for West Marine. Charlie, what kind of tips do you have for us today?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I got some good ones. In fact, I was just out on the California Delta this morning and with my buddy, and we were doing a combination trip. We were bass fishing for largemouth bass first thing in the morning on topwater lures. Right now, the California Delta is cooling down. The water temps are in the high 50s, low 60s, and with this front coming through, it's awesome time to double your pleasure by catching the largemouth bass on topwater lures in the morning. They're in the weed beds when the tide is high. As it starts to go down, the closer your lure gets to the top of those weed beds, the more they're going to come up and eat those Zara spooks and frog imitation baits. And once the tide goes down, we're targeting the striped bass, which are running up the California Delta right now, especially around the Franks Tract area out in the East Bay. We caught about 35 stripers between 2 and 7 pounds on rattle traps this afternoon. And it's you find where the big schools are congregating, and they are right in the mouth of Frank's Track off of False River right now. And, you know, you're sharing the water with maybe 5 to 10 other boats, but, boy, there are so many fish running up the Delta right now striper-wise that there's plenty for everybody. It's good times. And, you know, if you stick with some of the bigger baits, like a topwater all day long, you can catch some really big stripers up to, say, 40, 50 pounds. So it's pretty nice right now.
Charlie, is this a seasonal thing?
It is. The stripers especially run up the Delta anytime between late October and early January. So really, the next 8 weeks is going to be just off the hook. And as they as the weeks progress and the water gets colder, they keep moving inland towards Stockton. And I'd say within 4 weeks, this big group of fish we found around Frank's Track will be down in the Stockton port or down by Discovery Bay, and we're going to really tear them up down there.
Those are so much fun to catch. I mean, obviously, they're if you want to put one on your table, it doesn't get any better, but they're so much fun to catch, and obviously you don't want to take too many out of there, but we appreciate that, and it sounds like things are looking pretty good. Charlie, we appreciate that, and we also would like to mention if anybody is in the Stockton area and they want to stop in and get some great information, Charlie Almasi might just be there because he's a Western region in Western Inland Regional Manager for West Marine.
Yep. I got it. Stop on by any of our stores. We'll hook you up and tell you exactly where those big schools of stripers are lurking right now.
Thanks, Charlie. Okay, we're going to move back over the coast, Phil, and to a friend of yours and mine who operates far and away has to be the finest whale-watching boat in the world. And let's ask Fred Benko why he keeps it in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, hi, John. How are you?
Great.
Good. Well, you know, we finally have summertime here in Santa Barbara. Who would have guessed it wouldn't come until November? We have calm seas and sunny skies and still lots of humpback whales. I think most of the blues are gone, but the humpbacks are everybody's favorites anyway. They come up and play with the boat. Today we had five humpbacks that came up and played with us, and you know, since in the last 20 years or so, we have humpback whales here pretty much all year round.
Fred, what is it about the Santa Barbara Channel, in which is one of the reasons, of course, you're located here on that awesome boat, but what is there about the Santa Barbara Channel that makes it so unique for doing what you do?
Well, it's the orientation of the channel. It's oriented east and west. It's the longest stretch of east-west coast on the west coast of the United States, 110 miles. and the islands offshore also east and west. And so the currents that come down, the Alaska current that comes down, impacts the shelf around the islands and gets pushed up and provides all the food. The plankton bloom there, and then the krill bloom, and of course all the bait fish feed on the krill, and also so do the whales. And so it's just a food producing engine here for whales and dolphins and fish.
Fred, why are the humpbacks here year round now? 20 years ago they were not, I guess, and now we see them year round. Why is that?
Well, you know, they showed up again in about 1990, and prior to that time, we were doing a lot of oil exploration in the Santa Barbara Channel, seismic testing for oil, and you know, that makes big noises, and which we don't hear above water, but they certainly hear it for long distances underwater. But they stopped that in 1989, and now the whales, the blue whales and the humpback whales and the fin whales, have come back into the channel, and in increasing numbers. Now we've got, I think at this time we probably have a few dozen humpbacks that'll probably stay here all winter. If they don't need to mate or calve, if they're too young or too old to mate, and they don't have a calf with them, or if it's a mother with a calf, they'll stay up here and feed rather than going down south, you know, where the food is not as plentiful.
That is very interesting. That correlation, that cause and effect between the oil guys exploring and the whales, I think that's fascinating, John.
Yeah, true.
It really is, and the scientists have refuted that a little bit, but you know, I'm a fisherman that's been fishing here for 30-some years, and it was just an observational thing that I saw. You know, they call this, I forgot what they call it, but some kind of data. It's
anecdotal, maybe, or?
Anecdotal, yeah, thank you. Anecdotal data. But I believe it because, I mean, I see it, and I've been seeing it since 1989.
Well, earlier today, we found out that Phil Friedman does his prognostications based on the Farmer's Almanac.
And what, talk about anecdotal.
What does Phil have to say?
Well, I say that we're going to have a mild winter, and that fishing and whale watching is going to be magnificent for a long time to come.
Well, I certainly hope so. It'd be great for us. I'm certainly loving the weather now. Boy, this is flat, calm seas and clear water. I mean, it's so clear right now. Today we had five humpback whales that were playing with the boat, and they would hang under the boat at about, 30, 40 feet down, and you could see them down there. Then periodically they'd come up and poke their head up and roll over, and they'd do the things that humpbacks do that are so much fun. But you could see them. It was amazing how clear the water was.
Fred, what is your prediction? Now, normally, February, March, April are good whale watching months, aren't they?
Yeah, well, we've got seasons here. I mean, right now we'll have humpbacks until and maybe a blue or two between now and December, and then toward the middle of December, the gray whales, the migration begins, and they're going southward. And that's a big migration. There's probably 25,000 gray whales in the herd right now. So they'll be moving southward during December, January, and middle of February. And then in middle of February, they start coming back north again. And so we'll have them, sometimes we'll see on the same trip, we'll have them see them go both ways. So the northern migration happens in March and April. And then the humpbacks show back up again in big numbers in the end of April, and then we have them all summer until, you know, pretty much all year now.
Well, Fred, you'd become a bit of an expert on these animals, these huge, huge animals. Give us a bit of an idea when they go out of the channel and going south, what they do and where they go.
Well, with the blue whales, we don't know. It's only recent years that the Dr. Bruce Mate from Oregon State University has tagged them with satellite tags that will stay on long enough to, it gives us an idea of their route.
Right.
And it, we still, some of them go offshore 1,000 miles. Some of them go straight down to the Costa Rican Dome, which is about 1,000 miles off the coast of Costa Rica.
Well, Fred, we're going to have to wrap this section up, but if somebody wants to get on the Condor Express, I would certainly recommend it. It's, you know, it's hard to describe. What is the website?
It's condorcruises.com.
CondorCruises.com, and check it out. Trust me. Phil, I don't know if you've been on that boat or not, but it is incredible. Stay tuned. We're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes with John Hennigan and Phil Friedman of 976 Tuna on Fish Talk Radio.
In Santa Barbara since 1949, McConnell's has made super premium ice cream with a guarded secret method of old world technology. Using only local fresh cream, eggs, and sugar, there are no artificial ingredients or stabilizers. A container of McConnell's ice cream can weigh almost twice that of its competitors because of the rich, creamy flavor and texture. You will understand the difference with your first taste, and you will know why the Los Angeles Times named it the best of the best. Ask your retailer for McConnell's fine ice cream.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Dry fly, wet fly, anybody's guess. Got a knot in my leader and my line's all a mess.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan along with Phil Friedman. On the line with us, we also have Dan Hart from West Marine in Southern California. So, Phil, let's find out what Dan's up to.
Hey, Dan, it's always great to have you on the show. What's happening in San Diego? Still good fishing?
Hey, guys, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Yeah, the fishing is okay. It's been kind of off this week. I don't know if the sport boats have been getting out in the one day. The long-range fishing is good. They're still doing really well down on the ridge down below for tuna, mid-sized tuna, good wahoo fishing, that kind of stuff on 8- and 10-day trips. There seems to be some good yellowtail fishing at San Martin right now. I just talked to a private boater, came back, had excellent fishing there around bends and fishing the yo-yo and mackerel at San Martin. They're picking a couple of yellows out of the islands at Coronados, but most of the guys are fishing rockfish now. Weather's great for fishing, and but it looks like it's kind of slowing down at this point in time. That sea bass stuff may be still there for a little bit, but I think the squid boats are done catching a squid. They're moved out of the area, so you might be able to go in there and pick up a few squid on the lights and still catch a sea bass, but it looks like that stuff might be winding down for now.
Dan, you know, I still talk to some private guys coming out of Ensenada and every once in a while out of San Diego. I'm not sure that the fishing is slowing down so much as the fishermen are slowing down, because they're still finding kelps that are pretty loaded with that 8 to 12 pound yellowtail and scattered yellowfin jig strikes. It still sounds pretty decent.
Yeah, I did get a report of a guy on a private boat going out of Ensenada this week who had a handful of the smaller yellowfin tuna and pretty good whack at the yellows out the patties. And he said that stuff wasn't just the firecrackers. There were some 8 to 12 to 16 pound fish in with it. So yeah, there's still some stuff out there. And I think you're right. I think the guys are just kind of giving up on it, even though this week the weather's been great with this high pressures going on.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, kelp patty fishing, Dan, it's a real fine line, isn't it? I mean, you find that right kelp, and, man, it is feast. If you don't find it, it's famine.
Exactly. You can look at kelps all day. All you got to do is drive up the right one. You can find the right one first thing in the day or the last thing in the day, and it makes your whole day. You just got to keep working at it. And with the weather the way it's been, it's easy to find them. It's in a situation where you can see kelps a long ways away when it's like this.
I loved your line on our last show about Halloween and the ghost arriving, the white sea bass. You say that starting to thin out a little bit, but still, it's still pretty darn good to see that stuff around. And what a season it's been on white sea bass, huh?
Yeah, who thought you could have caught them? I don't know, what was it when we were catching them in August and in July there, and then here we're still catching them in November. You know, it's been an incredible year. It really, you know, makes me feel good about what we're going to be looking for in the future. You know, last year we had that kind of secret bite that happened down the coast. Everybody tried to keep quiet and some stuff up here a little bit, but it's really nice to see that stuff going off the way it went off up here this year. It was just amazing, and I'm looking forward to next year to go and sea bass fishing. And as more and more of us learn how to catch them and more and more of us learn how to get the squid, I think this fishery is only going to get better.
Are the bugs still crawling?
Yeah, guys are getting out, are getting some bugs okay. I mean, it's always the problem with bug fishing is in the nice weather, they don't walk nearly as good as they do when it's nasty. So it's always nicer to go when the weather's up, and the weather hasn't been up. So guys are still catching a few of them, but when we start getting a little bit of the rougher weather, you're going to find that the bugs are out big
start
time.
Crawling around, great. And any particular tips on where that might happen?
The lobster, you mean?
Right.
Now, the easiest place to fish is Zuniga Jetty right here in San Diego, but there's all kinds of rocky hard bottom that guys don't fish outside.
Great.
There's great places just west of buoy number 3 where there's some nice rocky hard bottom that's only in about 10 fathoms of water, and guys can fish that if they just want to poke their nose outside a little bit and look around for some rocky spots.
Phil, isn't it awesome that you get somebody that actually works in the stores at West Marine has that kind of knowledge?
You know what, and this is no blowing smoke. Dan Hart knows his game better than anybody. It's really, I mean, to walk into that store, it is such a pleasure. He can fill you in on so much. Not only what's currently going on, but he can tell you how to do it.
Great. Hey, we appreciate that, guys. We're going to go down to Cabo and find out what's happening in the tuna tournament. So we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, let's go to the Picante fleet. We have Mike, who is in the middle of the marina in Cabo San Lucas, and again, it has to be the finest fleet in Mexico, and if that's the probably the finest fleet in anywhere in the world. And I'm going to be down there seeing you on Tuesday, Mike. I've got Baja fever. I know that's been a lot of big tuna and marlin coming in, and apparently the tuna tournament may not be officially in, but there's some big fish coming in, correct?
Yeah, most of the fish have been quite a few fish over 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping for that big one to see what the official results turn out to be.
Right. Okay. Well, just save a few for me, would you? I would love to tie into a tuna. You know, obviously marlin is fun, but they're a lot of work, and then you let them go. And it's been a long time since I caught a tuna over 100 pounds, so we're really looking forward to that. Give us an idea a little bit about the weather and what's happening in and around Cabo San Lucas.
Well, the weather's still, it's typical Cabo weather. It's warm out. It's nice. There's some threes. We've got some colder water moving in, so it seems to be picking up the fish, and the striped marlin are moving in more numbers, and also the tuna seem to be biting pretty good. We've got some good temperature breaks right near the tip of Baja, and that's where the guys are fishing.
Is that fish, the tuna, mostly on the porpoise? Is it on jig strikes, or is it on bait?
It all depends on what the guys are doing. But a lot of times they're throwing bait. They're finding porpoise, and then they're throwing bait.
How is the bait situation?
I think it's getting better. We're expecting stuff to be a lot more bait coming in now. This cooler water's coming in, so it's going to get better, and there'll be a lot more striped marlin. You should be moving in too. So the fishing is going to get better.
And when we go out on Tuesday, what do you suspect? Where are we going to be going? Are we going to go out of the marina and go into the Pacific or up into the Gordo Banks and the Sierra Cortez?
Well, depending on what you're looking for, and we're watching temperature changes, and there's some temperature changes, breaks right off Cabo, and there's some also on the Pacific side. The Cortez side's holding pretty warm in the 80s. So depending on you know, what you want to go for. There's probably more blues and blacks up there. But right off of Cabo here, there's a good temperature break, and I think there'll be some good fishing up close.
Well, and the boats that you've got down there sure make it easy and make it fun, so I'm really, really looking forward to that. And maybe next weekend I can phone in a report from Cabo.
Yeah, be good. And the guys will take you out to where the fish are, that's for sure.
That's great. And again, Cabo San Lucas has to be, somebody asked me the other day, where would my favorite place to go fishing? And to me, it's a no-brainer. You know, Alaska, yeah, it's great. And certain times of the year, it can be awesome. But consistently, year in, year out, month in, month out, I think that there's probably more consistent, good, especially big game fishing in Cabo San Lucas and the surrounding areas than any place in the world. At least that's my opinion.
And you don't have to worry about drilling a hole in the ice.
Great. Hey, if this is a good time of the year to go down there, the tournaments are kind of winding up, but the fishing is still really good. The water temperature is warm, but the air temperatures are coming down a little bit, and there's some really bargains going down there right now. So how do we get in touch with Picante?
You can reach us through our website at www.picantesportfishing.com, or from the States, you can call us at 714 0644. Right. And that comes right down here to our office.
Sounds good. I appreciate that, and we'll be talking to you real soon. I'm anxious to see you. Thanks a lot.
Okay, John. Bye.
Now, we're going to do something a little bit different. We have Britt on the line from Austin, Texas. Britt, I'll let you announce yourself because I want to make sure that we get it right. Tell us what your passion is.
My passion is carp fishing, John.
Okay. And in particular?
C-A-R-P.
C-A-R-P.
So you may notice by the accent that I'm not American there, and some people pronounce it with a very rolled R in America, like carp.
Yeah.
I say carp, and they always say, oh, yeah, carp. Yeah, I know those fish, carp.
Yeah.
Oh, carp. But it's carp fishing anyway.
Right. Well, I know the first time we had you on the air is probably a couple of years ago, and it was so much fun that we wanted to bring you back every once in a while because, first of all, people find it hard to believe that there is a lot of interest in carp fishing. But it's really quite a sport, isn't it? It's certainly not easy.
One of the reasons that people move to Austin, Texas is somewhat considered the carp capital of America. Ladybird Lake here, which was formerly Town Lake, is renowned for its huge carp. In fact, a couple of years ago, the Texas state government put a $250,000 prize up if anybody broke the state record during an annual competition we have, which is the Austin Team Championships, and a friend of mine won it.
Now, what is the method that you use? I know they're not easy to catch, and some people even use a bow and arrow, but what is your method and how would they have to be taken?
Well, it's really got a lot further along. It's rather technical these days, John. I mean, to put it in a nutshell, to catch the bigger fish is not easy. Smaller fish are easy to catch. The usual old methods of a dough ball or whatever, and you know, there's lots of simplistic methods. But the bigger the fish get, the wiser they get. They didn't grow big and old by being foolish and taking any baits. So we use a lot of modern baits, a lot of the high protein baits, which basically, if they ate nothing but that, they could survive perfectly well on these processed high-protein baits. They're called boilies. And the gear has got very sophisticated. We use electronic alarms that tell us when we get bites. And, you know, there may be times when you'll sit 2 and 3 days waiting for that one bite from that big fish. But when you get that big fish, it's a passion for sure, like any fishing. It's definitely a passion, you know, and everybody shares a different one. But it's becoming very popular over the country. I think I made mention I'm a member of the Carp Anglers Group, which is a national group. And right now I'm not quite sure exact membership, but our membership's growing. It's very healthy. We have a very, very lively forum. And a lot of people all over the country have been getting into it over the past, you know, 5-6 years, actually.
Right. Well, they're ubiquitous. You can find them almost anywhere where it's really cold. Phil, we don't have a lot of time, but have you ever had a carp on the end of your line?
Never have, but I'm getting that temptation listening to this.
They certainly do. If you get something in the water that starts thrashing around like they do, that's really quite a thrill.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, you know, we've just been talking recently on the forum about what is now considered a specimen-sized carp. And, of course, different places in the country, there are certain pockets of different states that have bigger fish than other places.
But
generally speaking, a 25-pound fish is usually a good
Britt,
fish.
We're going to have to let you go. Do you mind if we continue this conversation? This is very, very interesting.
Absolutely. I look forward to talking to you again, John.
Okay. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with Phil Freeman, and we're not done yet.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Gonna have some fun.
Gonna go fishing.
Cause it's number one.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Phil Freeman out there someplace. Well, we'd like to remind people they can get in touch with us with any question or comments. You can go to fishtalkradio.com, and we'll be online, and it's real easy to get to. And also, Phil is at?
I'm at www.976tenant.com.
Okay, we got to go. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody.
Bet you're going fishing all of the time. Baby, going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, will catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait.